Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter, Ann Ball, and Bruce Albert. Later, Phil Dierking and Jill Robbins will bring us this week's Education Report. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
China's President Xi Jinping is now considered among the most influential of the country's leaders. China's Communist Party added Xi's political thought to its constitution during the closing session of its 19th Party Congress. Only two other Chinese leaders have had their ideas added to the constitution in this way. They are Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping. The Congress chooses the party's leaders and presents policy for the next 5 years. Observers say the move shows that Xi might seek a third term. They also note that there is no apparent successor to Xi among Chinese leaders at this time. Chinese state media praised as historic the move to put Xi Jinping's thought on socialism with Chinese characteristics for a new era into the Constitution. The change passed without opposition. The amendment to China's Constitution says Xi Jinping thought will provide a guide for China's development on a long-term basis. In addition to adding Xi's name and political ideas, amendments establish the party's absolute leadership over the military and society. Among the important policy moves is a major anti-corruption campaign that has targeted both powerful and lower-level officials. Another initiative is the Belt and Road Development Project, which seeks to spend billions of dollars on infrastructure-related projects in Asia, Africa, and Europe. When he took power in 2012, Xi spoke of a Chinese dream, an idea for the redevelopment of China into a great modern nation. In his speech at the start of the Congress, Xi promised that China would become what he called a modern socialist country by 2035. He also said by 2050, China would be a leading world power.
中国人民
Near the close of the meeting, Xi called the Party Congress a success. He said the Chinese people embrace the possibilities of a bright future. Willie Lam is with the Center for China Studies at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. He told VOA that he believes Xi will seek to stay in power beyond the end of his second term in 2022. China's constitution states that the president can only serve two terms. Also, the party traditionally requires leaders who are 68 or older to step down. Xi is currently 64 years old. However, Lam says Xi could step aside as party chairman, but keep control of China's powerful Central Military Commission as Deng Xiaoping did. He could also remain chairman of the country's National Security Commission, which oversees the police. Lam said, according to long-established tradition, whomever controls the army and the police controls everything, not to mention the fact that he has this additional title of corps leader. However, Lam is concerned that Xi's gathering of power represents a step backward. He notes that China's reform leader, Deng Xiaoping, was adamant in repudiating one-person rule. Deng also forbid a cult of personality from being set up around leaders and helped set up age and term limits. Xi received the title of corps leader about a year ago. The title represents a level of power not seen since Deng led reform and opening up efforts to modernize China. Experts note that there is no one who is considered able to take Xi's place in 5 years. The head of the party's Central Commission for Discipline Inspection, Wang Jishan, is considered the second most powerful man in China. He has overseen Xi's anti-corruption campaign, which has brought down a number of powerful competitors in the party. But Wang's name was not included on a list of leading party officials on the Central Committee. On Wednesday, the members of the Politburo Standing Committee are to be announced. The Politburo Standing Committee is a small group of about 7 members, including Xi, who hold top positions. I'm Mario Ritter.
On October 25, 1917, Vladimir Lenin ordered Bolshevik forces to attack the Winter Palace, the official home of Russia's rulers in St. Petersburg. The raid started the Bolshevik Revolution, also called the Red October Revolution. It led to the ouster of Tsar Nicholas II, and the creation of the Soviet Union. The Reuters news agency notes that Wednesday marks the 100th anniversary of the attack, based on Russia's old calendar. But not a lot has changed over the past century in terms of the Russian economy. Renaissance Capital is an investment bank specializing in the country. It says the Russias of 1917 and 2017 have more in common than might be expected. For example, before the Red October Revolution, about a third of Russian debt was held by foreigners. That is the same as the rate today. Before 1917, foreigners earned dividend rates of 5 to 8% from shares of Russian utility stock. The dividend rates from such shares are the same today. 100 years ago, Russia had less industry than major world powers. It was considered to have the same level of industrialization as Brazil and Mexico.
That is generally true today. Raw materials were Russia's main exports before the 1917 revolution. It is still at the same two-thirds level a century later. Finally, Russia was the world's biggest exporter of grain back then. The investment bank estimates that from 2015 to 2017, Russia was again the world's biggest exporter of grain. This is not to say that nothing has changed. More Russians now have the ability to read and write as compared to those living before the Soviet Union. And the country became more industrial during the Soviet years. Charlie Robertson is an economist with Renaissance Capital. He told the Reuters news agency that the Soviet years stopped the development of a modern Russian economy. In the first half of the 20th century, Russia was catching up to industrialized nations like Italy and Japan. Robertson added, "If that progress could have been maintained, Russia would be more populous, more wealthy, and more democratic than it is today." I'm Ann Ball.
Americans are worried about new technology. They are concerned that machines, including robots, will take over work now done by humans. These findings come from a new report by the Pew Research Center of Washington, D.C. About 75% of Americans questioned by Pew said automation will increase income inequality between the rich and the middle class and poor. And 64% of people expect automation to be so common in America that people will face difficulty finding things to do with their lives. Some of the concerns about technology come from a distrust about whether machines will always make the right decision. Pew said many Americans believe humans have better judgment in dealing with complex matters or when there is not one clear answer. One example is selecting a person for a job. 3/4 of Americans said they would not want to apply for a job that uses a computer program to choose the most qualified person. Americans have similar doubts about riding in a car without a driver. The Pew Research Center found that 56% of Americans would not ride in a driverless car. 59% said they would not use a robot caregiver. Most Americans want the government to limit automation. For example, 87% support a requirement that all driverless vehicles have a human in the driver's seat who can take control when needed. And 85% want to limit machines to mostly doing jobs that are dangerous or unhealthy for humans. About 33% of Americans believe that their own jobs are threatened by automation. About 1 in 5 said they knew someone whose hours were cut or whose jobs were lost altogether because of automation. And only 25% expect more jobs to come from automation, Pew said. Mark Zuckerberg, the co-founder of Facebook, spoke last May to graduating seniors from Harvard University in Massachusetts. His talk centered on the uncertain future facing young people. Our generation will have to deal with tens of millions of jobs replaced by automation, like self-driving cars and trucks, Zuckerberg told the graduates. Zuckerberg said young people will have to find projects that will bring both jobs and direct benefits to the people of the world. He said in his speech that 300,000 people worked to put a man on the moon, and millions of people built the Hoover Dam as well as other great projects over the last 100 years. Zuckerberg also said, "Now it's our turn to do great things. I know you're probably thinking, I don't know how to build a dam or get a million people involved in anything. But let me tell you a secret. No one does when they begin. Ideas don't come out fully formed. They only become clear as you work on them. You just have to get started." Pew questioned over 4,000 people last May for its research on how Americans see automation. I'm Bruce Alpert.
This is what's trending today. Many universities this week are marking Open Access Week. The yearly event centers on improving the online availability of academic research to the public. Cambridge University in England celebrated by releasing the 1966 doctoral thesis of Stephen Hawking for free online. Hawking was a graduate student at Cambridge. Hawking is the world's best-known physicist. He completed his thesis, Properties of Expanding Universes, when he was just 24 years old. The work explores ideas about the origins of the universe, ideas that Hawking has studied throughout his career. News of Hawking's publicly available thesis spread quickly. Within hours, Cambridge's website collapsed because of the high number of people trying to access the research paper. A Cambridge University spokesman said in a statement, "We have had a huge response to Professor Hawking's decision to make his PhD thesis publicly available to download, with almost 60,000 downloads in less than 24 hours. The spokesman said that, as a result of the paper's popularity, the website may perform slowly at times. Hawking's research was already the most requested item in Cambridge's library. He recently gave the university permission to make it an open access document. Hawking said he hoped making his thesis freely available for everyone would inspire people around the world to look up at the stars and not look down at their feet, to wonder about our place in the universe, and to try to make sense of the cosmos. And that's what's trending today.
The United States is home to 562 federally recognized American Indian nations, each with its own language. Yet the number of Native Americans with the ability to speak their tribe's language has decreased over the past century. Now, Indian nations are trying different ways to expand the number of Native speakers and increase interest in their communities to learn tribal languages.
Since the late 1800s, many American Indian children have attended boarding schools. At the time, Indian children were required to attend schools by law, and the federal government forced Indian families to send their children to such schools. The purpose of this requirement was to educate young people, as well as assimilate them in American ways of life. The children were separated from their families and given English names. As many boarding schools were operated by religious groups, the children were also taught Christianity. One of the most lasting effects of these schools was language. The teachers often taught Native American students in English instead of the language of their parents. Ansita Benali serves as education program manager for the Navajo Nation. She says the boarding school students were told they needed to learn English in order to get a job, earn money, and buy a house or nice things. Benali says the effect of these schools has lasted for generations. When the boarding school generation started having children, they were only taught English. At the time, many people believed this made sense, for economic and other reasons. But a lot of Native Americans could no longer speak their tribal language well enough to pass it on to their children. Today, even though tribal-run schools exist on their territory, most tribes report that their youngest members have trouble speaking traditional tribal languages. Fearing a loss of history and culture, the Indian nations are experimenting with new ways to increase the language ability and interest of tribal members.
At least one organization is turning to modern technology. The Sealaska Heritage Institute, a nonprofit group, has developed a podcast and two apps for speakers of the Tlingit language. The Tlingit tribe has about 10,000 members. They live mainly in southeastern Alaska. But as of 2013, the tribe had only 125 native speakers left. This is low, considering that every other tribe in Alaska has a higher percentage of native speakers. In addition, very few young people are able to speak Tlingit. All first language fluent speakers are over the age of 60, noted Katrina Hotch, education program coordinator at Sealaska Heritage Institute. She added, "There are really advanced younger learners, but it's still an urgent need." Hotch said the apps and podcast were created so that schools could establish sensitive cultural and language environments for Tlingit students in their classrooms. Currently, there are two apps called Learning Tlingit and Tlingit Language Games. The Learning Tlingit app serves as a language guide. It provides Tlingit words and expressions, the tribal alphabet, as well as a basic list of the words included. With the Tlingit Language Games app, users are given a choice of different places or environments, like a house, forest, or ocean. Users choose different images and hear the word for each object spoken. They can then take a simple test on the words they learned. In addition, Hotch developed a podcast which includes both audio and video images. Each program deals with a specific subject, such as Tlingit songs, numbers, terms, and how to say difficult letters in the language. The voices used in the apps are all from native speakers. Hotch says the biggest problem facing learners of the language is getting access to Tlingit speakers.
Along with using technology, some tribes are training teachers and developing goals in education in order to improve their language programs. The Choctaw are an American Indian tribe native to the southeastern United States. Rosanna Thompson is the Choctaw Language and Cultural Integration Director for the tribe's schools in Mississippi. Thompson told VOA that about 75% of Choctaw Indians, who are teenagers or older, can speak the tribal language, but only 15% of Choctaw children have that ability. Thompson said tribal leaders decided they wanted to create language classes for elementary school students. Those schools have now set up a Choctaw language program for students through third grade. This is the first time they have offered Choctaw language classes for elementary students. They also offer speaking assessment and pre-assessment testing. Before launching the classes, Thompson and other Choctaw teachers attended a training program in how to teach native languages. They then worked with other teachers to establish their own goals for language learning. The program is trying to reproduce how tribal members used to learn Choctaw through speaking. Thompson said the students first learn about spoken interactions and exchanges before they turn to writing and grammar rules. She felt that if they focus on grammar too early, it could slow down the learning process. Similar to the struggles with Tlingit language, Thompson says, the biggest difficulty with teaching Choctaw is overcoming the language barrier that exists between the children, parents, grandparents, and the general public. She adds, they may learn the language, but they can't use it anywhere else. It is hard on our children as well.
Another tribe working with educational standards are the Navajo Indians, also known as the Diné, a tribe in the southwestern U.S. The Navajo have the largest number of speakers of all the American Indian tribes, with an estimated 166,826 speakers of Navajo, out of 286,731 Navajo members, according to the U.S. government. However, like most Indian tribes, many of the speakers are older adults. Few young people are learning the Navajo language. One recent study found that 53% of Navajo families speak only English at home. Ancita Benali works for the Department of Diné Education, an office known as DODE. It was part of a large project to establish standards for Navajo education. Benali says the DODE used those rules to develop assessment tests for Navajo schools. She warns that improving the standards for language teaching in schools is not enough. While many adult tribal members continue to speak Navajo, many younger members do not have that ability. The situation is becoming such that they will be depending on the school to teach their home language. But we're telling them it really belongs in the home and is much easier to teach them at home, Benali said. The real step, she says, to increasing young speakers is to convince parents and grandparents that it is important to be speaking Navajo with their children or grandchildren. Their language is in danger, and it's up to them to keep it from disappearing, Benali says. I'm Phil Dierking.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.